You're listening to The Bridge Loud in Chicago on Q Rock 100.7 FM and online worldwide via thebridgechicago.com. Hey, this is Jed Brewer. Here's tonight's question. I need to get sober, but I don't get the rehab thing. Is that big of a deal really necessary for me to get clean? Let's get into it.
Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm here with Glenn Fitzgerald.
It's a new year.
And Jed Brewer.
And a new you.
Probably not.
No? Oh, okay. Well,
we will continue in the new year to probably do exactly the same things we did in the old year, but included in that is answer questions on this show. This one comes in to our inbox, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. It says, I need to get sober, but I don't get the rehab thing. Is that big of a deal really necessary for me to get clean? And I'm glad to start off with you. As we mentioned on the show, our day job here in Chicago is working with a lot of addicts, and you've been doing that for a number of years. So what does this process look like? And I like this phrase, is it really that big a deal?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things you want to get right with your life. You don't want to play with it, that's for sure. I'm that kind of guy. I'm the kind of guy that tries to I find myself backing into the bad things, so I try and back my way into the good things.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't always go at it whole hog. Here's the thing. As you mentioned, we work with guys who are dealing with addiction. We're trying to help them find a new life physically in terms of away from that controlled substance, but a new life spiritually. Here's one of the things we tell them frequently. There's X amount of temptation that you can face. Everyone has a number. Everyone has that level. But when you face that much temptation, you will backslide. So it's about controlling that kind of temptation level that you're taking on.
I think that's a really good place to start because it points to a kind of larger mindset about things like recovery, and be that a chemical thing we're talking about here, but even just kind of habits, getting things back on track. And Jed, if you could speak to that, I think some people have this idea of people who get caught up in these, whether it be an addiction or general bad behavior, just kind of like, for instance, they are lazy or not willful and lack life skills. And then the goal is to teach them how to do those things, and then they apply it,
right,
and they're better now. And this really isn't about that kind of thing, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Look, everybody, there is no one who's good at willpower.
Right.
Nobody. And this has actually been studied by psychologists and social scientists. What they found is even the people that you would think are good at willpower, they're actually just good at structuring their lives where they don't need it. They're the kind of people where if they're trying to eat fewer cookies, they just don't go where cookies are. That's actually what they do. It's funny. That's actually recognizing that you kind of don't have a lot of willpower and then working around that is actually what that is. A lot of addiction recovery is actually about learning skills to manage life in different ways and keeping yourself out of those tempting situations so that they can't become a problem for you. And the good news is no matter how bad you think you are or you think you aren't at willpower, you can learn to do that. You can actually learn a new way to approach problems, a new way to approach life that gets you better results and gets you in a better situation.
Absolutely right. I think so much of this is not about harder but smarter. As you'll hear said in kind of the businessy world, this is not an idea. And the idea of a rehab is not to go to a place where you can just clear your head, man,
right,
and focus and gather all this willpower and then apply it later. It, whether it be a rehab, whether it be a recovery group, whether it be any kind of these good steps, that's about learning these tools that help you maximize the amount of willpower we all have. And
mm-hmm.
Whether that be as Jed mentions, if you are an overeater, you want to exercise a little bit of willpower at the grocery store as opposed to a lot of willpower once you have brought the cookies home.
Yep.
That's what this is about learning how to do this right. And we have some more insight for that when we come back with you right here on the Bridge Loud.
Loud.
We are back with you here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm here with Glenn Fitzgerald.
I already backslid on my New Year's resolution to be more healthy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you have that wheel of cheese?
That's right.
Also joining us, Jed Brewer.
I'm doing great, man. I'm just perfect record so far. I mean, we're only like 13 hours in, but I'm doing pretty awesome.
Way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
He's doing planks as we speak. We continue to answer a question that came in to thebridgeloud at gmail.com, where you are welcome to write in if you have a question for us. This person says, I need to get sober, but I don't get the rehab thing. Is that big a deal really necessary for me to get clean? I think we talked a little bit in that first segment about the idea of it being a big deal, what these things are supposed to do. Jed, if I get you to start us off in this segment of kind of going back in that, what are the kind of things, again, whether it's a rehab or a good recovery group or just a plan, you can read the book yourself. What are the kind of things that, in order to get those long-term results that we want, you're going to start learning to apply?
Okay, so activities don't occur in a vacuum. It's not that, you know, one day you woke up and you said, I will drink too much. That's not how we got where we're at.
If a little Jaeger tastes good, a lot will taste great.
That's a winning decision. Here's what actually happened. You had a combination of people in your life, places you would go, and things you were involved in. And that combination conspired to get you to a point where you were drinking more than you wanted to in a habitual way and on a regular basis. That's what actually happens, how you actually got where you are today. If we want to change the drinking, then we have to change the people and the places and the things that led to the drinking. We need to change all of that. Now, that may sound a little overwhelming. You can do it. What we need is a new community that can support us as we change people and places and things. That's not something that we want to try and do on our own, and it's also not something you need to do on your own.
That's absolutely right. And Glenn, if I can get you to speak to that idea of you didn't wreck it in one fell swoop, like Jed said, you didn't get up and decide to have a problem with this today. So it doesn't really make much sense that you would undo it in one fell swoop. I think that's some of the problematic thinking people get into is I'm just going to plant my foot in the ground right here, and this is a new day.
That's right. And in order to have anything like that kind of a big turnaround, there really needs to be a change in your whole social life, as Jed was suggesting. In other words, there are some things we can't change by degrees. If it's overeating, then you just eat a bit less. It's not like you need to stop eating. But if you have a severe drug addiction, you need to stop taking that drug altogether. When you have to make that big of a change, as Jed's saying, it's people, places, and things. And people are the most important in that. There's an overwhelming tendency for us to act like the people that we're around. We tell ourselves, I'm an individual person and I like to do my own, follow my own, but that's really not how things tend to work. Much of the anxiety that we deal with when we're counseling people is everyone in my social circle is doing this, but I'm on something else and it's driving me crazy. There's a great deal of pressure. So if you're around people who are positive and leading you in a positive direction, that are sober and all of that, it's going to encourage that. If you're around people who are not on that, it's going to discourage you in making that change.
Absolutely right. And what we've heard from people who've gone to these kind of intensive treatment facilities, really that's one of the biggest things it's offered them is an ability to kind of have to hit that reset button and start from a new place. But that's the kind of thing you don't have to check into rehab to do. You can make up your mind to do that. But as we said, it's going to take a lot of steps. But we believe in you. Come back with some more resources to do that right here on The Bridge Loud.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son.
We are back with you here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm here with Lynn Fitzgerald.
I'm just hanging in there.
Are you?
Yeah.
And Jed Brewer.
That's sometimes the best you can hope for, man.
Yeah, I'm not that good a person, so.
Well, none of us. That's.
That was the title of Glenn's very successful country album. Glenn Fitzgerald is not that good of a person. We are continuing to answer a question that came into thebridgeloud@gmail.com. It says, I need to get sober, but I don't get the rehab thing. Is that big of a deal really necessary for me to get clean? So, if you're not ready for the rehab thing, but if you feel like you have an issue, or you even think you might, one of the things we recommended many times on the show, we continue to recommend, is a good 12-step program. Those are pretty much every successful thing any of us have ever seen in dealing with addiction is that or modeled very closely on those principles and that idea. So if you live in the Chicagoland area, you can go to ChicagoAA, that's all in word, ChicagoAA.org, and they'll have indexes for the places you can go, the meetings you can look at. You can find some phone numbers if you want to get more information on that. The other side of that is if you do think you are ready to at least look into the idea of something a little more intensive, something that is a residential program, we work with a number of those here in the city. One of the ones that is the largest and best known is the Haymarket Center. So if you're interested in any more information about that, you can call them at 312-226-4357. That number again is the Haymarket Center, 312-226-4357. And Glenn, as we round out this segment, if we can go back to the AA meeting, that can be a very, I guess that can be an intimidating thing, somebody can have a problem, but you've known a lot of people who have worked that program very well. What are the kind of things you would tell someone to go into that for the first time to kind of calm their nerves a bit?
Well, I think the main thing is to recognize this as one place where you're not going to be judged.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, there's a weird sense as we talk to people about going towards any kind of recovery program, AA, NA, you know, overeaters, all of those, is a sense of I'll go there and they'll all be changed. And I'll just be at the beginning, so they'll look down on me. It's actually just the opposite. Mm-hmm. What they're really looking at is everyone's a work in progress. Everybody's shades of gray here. Everyone is struggling. They see you as part of that. They don't see you as different or lesser than. And they are there to support and encourage. They were very recently where you were, and they can very much remember that. So there's no judgments to those meetings. It's really about of finding a kinship and a fellowship with other people who are having similar struggles.
Absolutely right. And I think, Jed, we've all had the experience of dropping people off at a rehab for the first time.
Yep.
I think they'll find more of the same there, right?
Oh, no question about it. If you go to a rehab, and we actually hope you do, it'd be a really helpful thing in your recovery. What you're going to find are people who want to help, and many of them are people who have walked the exact journey that you're on already. There may be things that feel weird or feel surprising. It's all stuff that's designed to help. It's all stuff designed to help you get and maintain sobriety.
Absolutely. We'll be back here with one more segment on The Bridge Loud.
She just wants to be loved. Yeah.
Hey, this is Glenn from The Bridge Loud. Maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, none of this good news applies to me because I've made mistakes and I've got a record. Well, you know what? No problem. We work every day with people who have been and sometimes still are behind bars. We know how to work with that and we ain't scared. Email us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. That's thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We know you have struggles. We believe in you, and we want to help.
We're back here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm once again here with Glenn Fitzgerald.
I'm still here.
And Jed Brewer.
Well, existentially, that would definitely be true.
Yeah.
It's too early in the morning for existentialism, Jed. The number of times I've had to say that to Jed. So we do have, once again, our secret sauce segment.
The secret sauce!
Well, we brought in a hired gun this time, expert in the field. This is our friend John Ross. He is a very good friend of the show and a friend of our ministry. He was an instructor for many years at the Teen Challenge Program, which is a very good drug treatment facility right here in Chicago. So he's got a lot of good wisdom to give us on this. So take it away, John.
All right. You're listening to The Bridge Loud. This is Jed Brewer, and I have with me our friend of the show, John Ross. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jed.
John, what is rehab?
Rehab, as far as I'm concerned, is a rehabilitation of the mind and the decisions that you make. The way that you think has to change.
Okay.
I tried many times to do it on my own, and I'm a terrible accountability partner for myself. That's why we need others and we need people around us to hold us accountable. And when you go to a facility like, you know, at TC, at Teen Challenge, you have people there and you're in an environment that's safe. You know, if I'm sitting in my house and my phone's right there and my dealer's number is right there, it makes it real easy for me to just pick up the phone, give in, and do it. So you come to a crossroads and you say, okay, am I willing to go through the pain that it takes to change? I knew that if I was going into a rehab, I wasn't very good at living my life and making decisions well for myself. So I had to kind of submit to the fact of, I need to let somebody else that's been through this and that has done this show me how to do this. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm checking myself into rehab. So the pain of being in that rut has to become greater, and you have to come to a point of surrender. Again, it was that point of surrender to saying, I'm going to try something else because my way is not working. You know, I've tried every way to try to be a functioning addict, to try to work, and you know, I'm only going to buy this much this week, and I'm going to save this much, and it never happens. So I'm like, I'm going to try. And these people had hope. Hope is what came in for me when it came to Christ and Christianity. What do you want from your life? Because everybody has that in them. You know, and as a Christian, I believe that God has a purpose for all of our lives. And that kind of sounds like a general thing, but if I were to sit down and talk to somebody and say, what are you living for right now? Are you living just to attain this drug so that you'll feel better? You know, think about, I would challenge them. Think about what kind of an existence that is. Like they say, the first step is admitting that you have a problem, and there's a lot of truth to that. If somebody is out there and they believe that they have a problem, contact somebody. The first step is to admit that, is to say, I don't have control of this. I'm ready.
We really want to thank John for taking the time, so early in the morning, because we do this live.
Absolutely.
For That's all right. intents and purposes.
Sure.
You would wonder why we, if we do it live, why we play transition music and cut to just Jed and John, but Glenn and I were just sitting here quietly listening.
That's right. That's correct.
So we want to thank John for his help. Very cool stuff. We want to thank you for writing in, and we'll see you next time on The Bridge Loud.
All right, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week on The Bridge Loud. And let us know, are you ready to join The Bridge Loud tribe? We know you've got talents. Maybe you can scream or play the guitar or make a super cool graphic. Love it. Reach out to us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com and tell us what you do. We want your talents and gifts as a part of The Bridge Loud, so don't be shy. Let us know, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
If you were looking for accomplishment, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted failure, so here I am. You were looking for intelligence, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted fools, so here I am. Love I don't deserve. Then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted.